Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Vince Coakley radio program. Glad you are with us. And I just want to say at the start of the broadcast, so glad to have Bo Thompson back with us. And we continue to pray for you, Bo. I know that you're probably, there's so many things going through your heart and mind right now. I know, but at the same time, you know that you are known and loved and appreciated by thousands of people here in the Charlotte area. And we are so grateful to have you back and know that we have your back and we're continuing to pray for you and lift you up from day to day. So I very much want to communicate that here at the start of the broadcast. A lot of things to talk about in the news. This is, I think I've mentioned this earlier in the year that I, and last year, I just have a strong sense these next few months are going to be weird. It's kind of a time to expect the unexpected. And at the same time, it was kind of funny. I was talking with a friend of mine this morning about the trial going on with Donald Trump. And this friend of mine was just saying, you know what? I'm over this crap already. The trial, the jury selection just started yesterday. This is going to go on for weeks. And I think it's not the only thing that's going to occur over the next few months between now and November. But we will talk about some of that a little bit later on. The House is going to send its impeachment articles over to the U.S. Senate. Who knows what's going to happen there? Chuck Schumer may just chuck these all together. It's very unlikely that you'll see a trial. It's just not going to happen. But nonetheless, the House has done its job. And the truth of the matter is, if you're going to impeach Mayorkas, you may as well get rid of the whole administration. I mean, obviously, we're talking fantasy here. Because these folks really don't have any care or concern about the border. It's just that simple. If they wanted to close the border and protect Americans, they would have done it years ago, from day one. We'll talk about this impeachment and what might happen from here. More Americans are getting the message, and the message is it's time for the states and individuals to step up to the plate to protect themselves. It's really that simple. You got to protect yourself, because you certainly cannot expect any protection from the United States government. These folks in the federal government do not care. So we'll tell you what's happening. Not in red state America, ladies and gentlemen, but on the left coast, they are making preparations out there because thousands of migrants are getting dumped out their way. I mean, this, and I remind you again, and it ties in with what I shared with you yesterday from my good friend Steve Dace. It's so important to understand this issue is a unifying national issue. And if we can just stay on this issue, for instance, we can bring about change and send Mr. Magoo to the old folks' home. I mean, this is gold in terms of a campaign issue with universal support. We'll talk about what's happening out on the left coast a little bit later on. I mentioned an update on the hush money trial going on in New York City. The personal implications of this for Donald Trump, who is not just a presidential candidate, he's also a dad. And there's a very personal story here that I think is kind of petty, to be honest with you. We'll tell you what he is upset about. We'll also address what's going on between Israel and Iran. We have a new threat out of Iran and some very strong words out of a former member of the Trump administration. It's kind of funny to me. He's one of those people who's been pretty much thrown under the bus by the Trump administration. But I think he has some wise words that need to be heard. And you will hear those coming up in just a bit. That's a preview of what is ahead. We're going to start off with some positive stories. One about America. The other about the city of Charlotte. I think you know by now, I very much believe in the city. Which is why, you know, I came here in 1992 thinking, okay, I'll come and stay for 3 years, move on somewhere else. 1992. Haven't got rid of me yet. Here we are, 2024. But it's wonderful to see that this is a city that is still desired, not just by people coming in, but also by companies coming in. We'll tell you about the latest announcement, which I'm actually somewhat excited about.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, my phone number, if you'd like to join the conversation, are 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. First, let's talk about our nation. You know, it's really cool. And one of the things I really appreciate, immigrants and visitors to this country who love and appreciate America. It's really cool when you see this, when people who are not even Americans, they get it. And it's really refreshing, especially in light of the fact you've got so many people, leftists, and I'm talking the most radical of leftists, who cannot think of enough nasty things to say about America and its founding, questioning its legitimacy. They ought to be very thankful. You know, the other thing I think is very helpful, at least for me, it doesn't seem to have helped some of these elites who travel around the world all the time, but I've got to tell you, just about everywhere I go, I've not gone anywhere, and I hope to do more international travel in the days ahead, but I have yet to go anywhere outside the country where I'm thinking to myself, you know, I think I want to live here. It just hasn't happened, and I don't expect it to happen. I want to draw your attention to the ceremonial opening tee shot ahead of the 2024 Masters Tournament in Augusta, Georgia. One person who was just beaming, thinking about America. Not American, but South African golfer Gary Player. It's so cool again. Here's this guy who is a visitor. A visitor. This is a man who has a lot of memories of the World War II era. He came here for the first time in 1957. And he said he got to meet one of his heroes, President Eisenhower. saying he was a man who believed in freedom. And what he did for this great country, you can't describe it. And I had such admiration for him. Going back to 1957, pretty amazing, huh? So, rather than talk about it, why don't I let you hear this for yourself? This is Gary Player speaking about his love and appreciation for the United States of America.
And I never forget to mention this, to come to this great country, the United States of America, if you hear, you are so blessed, and you should kiss the ground every day, and just appreciate what this country's done for the world, not only for yourself, but it's about time America started doing more for their own.
Isn't that kind of interesting? This guy, a South African, saying this country ought to do more for its own. He's recognized you guys have done all kinds of things for the world. I had a conversation with someone who remained nameless just the other day. And we were talking about the country. And it said to me, because this person had really no concept of how much the United States of America, the incredible footprint that we make in the world. Now, it's not to say that we always do the right thing. Let's not go down that rabbit trail. But I brought up, for instance, like the United Nations. What is the United Nations? I mean, in terms of funding and so many other things, without the United States of America, it's nothing. The United States of America holds so many things together. Our hand of blessing extends all around the globe. When tragedy strikes in some foreign land, so many times we're the first there. So, I just think, again, it's cool that somebody outside the country recognizes what a wonderful place this is. Closer to home, you heard in the news about, you know, wasn't it last week we were just talking about grocery stores, the battle of the grocery stores? Walmart is the giant when it comes to dominating the grocery market. But even though we have a pretty full lineup here in the Charlotte area, yet another grocer is coming to town. This is unbelievable. My first experience there, I have a really good friend who used to live in Rochester, lives in the Philadelphia area now. And I went up to visit this friend of mine, was it a couple of years ago? And during that visit, it was incredible. It was all the snow that was on the ground. I think I may have told you about that and how the experience was quite interesting. But one of the fun things about going up there was going to Wegmans. I'd never been in a Wegmans before. And I was just blown away when I walked in that store. I was like, I've never experienced anything like it. It was just cool. The whole culture and feel of it was something that I've never experienced in a grocery store. So when I heard the announcement yesterday, I thought, wow, this is going to be cool. So Wegmans, they're going to put a new Wegmans in Valentine. They put out a news release praising their own unmatched customer service, restaurant foods, one-stop shopping, consistent low prices. The location will be North Community House Road on the east side of Valentine. They're targeting the third quarter of 2026. And why are they coming? Well, Dan Aiken, the vice president of real estate and store planning, said, "We've received hundreds of requests from locals asking for a store in their area. We spent years looking for exactly the right location. We're thrilled to bring the Wegmans experience to this community. 110,000 square feet. It'll have all of the traditional departments. abundant produce department, wide variety of seafood, meat, bakery, deli, cheese options, large selection of wine and beer. The store will also have a market cafe with indoor and outdoor seating for customers to enjoy the restaurant foods. So this is going to be cool. It really will be. I look forward to this. Yeah, it really did bring back memories for me because I thought, wow. And I think of this good friend of mine who was a doctor up there. And I remember going to visit, and my friend was at work at the time. So here I am driving around, and there were some things I needed to pick up. So that, hey, Wegmans. It's only like 2 miles down the road. I just love that store. So 2 years, and we'll have one here. Love to get your thoughts. If you'd like to talk about the Wegmans experience, and especially those of you in the Ballantyne area, you will be the first to benefit and probably will not be the last one to go up here. I'm sure there will be others. You have to ask the question, what kind of a dent are they going to make in the grocery wars?
We are a family.
Planning a holiday party? Let Wegmans people help. We'll prepare delicious party trays and appetizers, seafood delicacies, specialty meat entrees, and delectable desserts, plus fully cooked ham and turkey dinners. Wegmans, together we celebrate.
Every day you get our best.
Wow, doesn't that create such warm feelings? Wegmans commercial.
I got to say,
Tommy found this from 1995, right?
Yeah, and I got to say, the turkey that was in the commercial looked pretty, pretty plastic. Pretty waxy, that's all I'm going to say. Looked like if you knocked on it on the table, like a door, it would make a door sound. Would not eat that turkey, but hopefully that's not the kind they sell.
I would certainly hope not. That is too funny. Well, I have some breaking news I need to tell you about. This one is, to be honest with you, I'm somewhat shocked. And it's breaking news from one of my best friends in Congress, Congressman Thomas Massie. He, and this is so Thomas, this guy's no coward. He's not a gossip. He's not the kind of person to stir up some insurrection in a back corner somewhere. Are you ready for this? This story from Mediaite just a few minutes ago. Here we go again. Massie tells Mike Johnson to his face he plans to back the motion to oust him as speaker. So, folks, this is getting legs now. This could be the beginning of the end of Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House. You heard, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene first threw this out a couple of weeks ago. Here is the story from Mediaite. As I mentioned from just a few minutes ago, Representative Thomas Massie revealed on social media he told Mike Johnson he plans to co-sponsor a motion to vacate the speakership in a closed-door meeting with House Republicans. Massie now joins Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene in seeking to oust Johnson from the speakership less than 6 months after he was elected to replace Kevin McCarthy as the top Republican in the House. Massie confirmed prior reporting by Jake Sherman in a post on X. Here's what he said. I just told Mike Johnson in conference I'm co-sponsoring the motion to vacate that was introduced by Marjorie Taylor Greene. He should pre-announce his resignation as Boehner did, so we can pick a new speaker without ever being without a GOP speaker. Wow. This is bold. He's basically saying, I mean, this is what I love. I'm telling you, folks, this is what courage looks like. Stand up in front of the whole conference. And I don't blame him. And you know what? I've reached out to Thomas Massie to see if he will come on this broadcast to talk about this, because this is a pretty monumental subject. This, like I said, this is courage. in front of the whole conference. And how do you think this was met? Massey's announcement was met with a chorus of boos. CNN's Melanie Zanona saying Massey was booed by his Republican colleagues after he made the announcement. And then Representative Trent Kelly stood up and criticized Massey, saying it's wrong to not back the speaker. Kiss my rear end. Come on. And this is going to be a problem. Since taking control of the House, Republicans have had a difficult time managing competing factions, made all the more challenging with a very low bar to introduce a motion to vacate at the start of this, the 118th Congress. A strange time for Republicans to be airing dirty laundry of internal politics within Congress as the Israel-Hamas war and Ukraine war with Russia risk bubbling up to larger scales, as well as the presumptive Republican nominee for president, the election of which will be held in nearly 6 months, currently under criminal trial. Fox News' Steve Doocy asked Speaker Johnston if he plans to resign from Congress if he's ousted, giving Democrats control of the House. But he dismissed that notion, saying it was an unlikely scenario. So, there you go, folks. This is breaking news. Thomas Massey proclaiming before the entire Republican conference he's going to back the motion to vacate the chair. Fasten your seatbelts. This is going to be ugly. There's no question about it. I love Thomas, and I'll tell you what, he has really opened up. A can of worms doesn't begin to get there. They are going to come after his head. They are. Because they've got a very slim majority, as it is. But I was saying to you, what I think really pushed Thomas over the edge was the idea of Mike Johnson not supporting the amendment to the FISA legislation and basically allowing this thing to go forward with one vote. In fact, I think the one vote was his. I mean, can we just settle? All settle in agreement with the idea that the Republican Party should not be supporting legislation like FISA. I mean, I know there are people who tried to clean this up, but at the end of the day, with the amendments failing, and this is your leader of the Republicans looking to circumvent your constitutional rights? That's why I told you this party, ideologically, it's dead. It is dead.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, a few minutes ago, we were talking about Wegmans. Seth writes in and says, Vince, I think they're moving operations from areas where they see there's little future to stay in business. From all the shoplifting crime, move, adapt, or die. Pretty interesting perspective on that. And it would make sense to go into areas where, you know, you're seeing growth rather than areas that are dying. Got to be planning for your future, right? That's what this is all about, planning for the future. So as you know, the House has already voted to impeach the Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas. They're going to present those articles to the Senate today. Now, this will kick off what will amount to a confrontation between the House and the Senate. the ceremonial process of transferring this over to the Senate may be met by, you know, a pretty harsh reaction, which is to basically throw it in the trash. I mean, that's essentially what could happen here. Because we're at a point where, obviously, the Democrats, with their control of the Senate, they don't have to do this at all. They can just completely ignore this and just blow it all away. Which is why they kind of indicated this was, you know, a complete waste of time in the first place. I don't think so. Even if it serves as a just as a symbolic message communicated, I think that is perfectly legitimate. So, that's what's happening today. The upper chamber is compelled by Senate rules to convene as a court of impeachment after the articles have been transmitted. Now, the House voted to impeach Mayorkas back in February. This was the very first time a cabinet secretary has been impeached in nearly 150 years. That is a long time. House leaders opted to wait until a government funding fight to present the issue to the Senate. They intended to begin the process last week. Senate Republicans made a push to delay the proceedings until this week because there were concerns over attendance. Well, it's certainly not going to be an issue now. Even after the GOP pushed to delay the article's transmission, the duration of the trial in the Senate, which is controlled by Democrats, where the effort is widely seen as a political stunt, has not been determined. Many Republicans in Congress want to punish Mayorkas for the Biden administration's handling of the U.S.-Mexico border, claiming the secretary has failed to enforce the nation's laws and stop tens of thousands of migrants from crossing the border. DHS denouncing this effort is baseless, saying House Republicans continue to ignore the facts and undermine the Constitution with the impeachment push. This is hilarious. Republicans are undermining the Constitution. Okay, please explain that one to me. I mean, sometimes, why don't you just own what you're doing? But they're not going to do that. Speaking of such, I told you, this is now a universal issue. This is not a red issue. This is not a Donald Trump issue. This is an American issue. How do I know? New York Post story. Californians are buying up guns after Border Patrol starts dumping thousands of migrants on the streets. Californians! This isn't the deep red South, ladies and gentlemen. This story by the New York Post out of El Cajon, California, talking about customers packing Corey Gattaro's small gun store northeast of San Diego on a recent Friday afternoon. Customers. See, they're not supposed to be flooding gun stores in California. Many of the people buying pistols at Firearms Unlimited California said they were concerned about the massive number of migrants getting released onto the local streets after the area became a hub for the crisis at the border, which is just 25 miles from El Cajon, by the way, a Southern California suburb of 105,000 people. Keith Carnevale said this: "My wife and I have had home defense guns for many years. Recently, though, with all the stuff that's happening south of the border and all the people coming over, my concerns have broadened." How shocking. I don't think it's just the people that are coming over to try to find work. We have a lot of hostile people that are coming over with ill will, ill intent, that will potentially cause chaos. Get a load of this. Roughly 125,000 migrants have been released onto the streets in the San Diego area since September, which has been unsettling for Firearms Unlimited California owner Corey Gattaro and his customers. after Texas worked to seal off large swaths of its border with Mexico with razor wire and boots on the ground, more migrants started making their way to California. This is crazy, isn't it? You know, these folks, if they keep this up, I know this is kind of a crazy thing to say. Is it possible California gets turned into a red state? I'm just saying. Coming up, we'll talk about the Trump trial in New York City and much more. Hour number two is straight ahead. Stay with us. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program. Still to come, we're going to talk about the Donald Trump trial. Also, we'll go into new developments in the conflict between Israel and Iran, new threats the Iranians are breathing toward Israel. First, let's go to a caller. Here is Corey. Good morning. Welcome, Corey.
Hey, Mr. B. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I meant to say Mr. V. I get you and Mr. B mixed up a lot, but which one I get ready to say y'all names. It is no difference when I see you. I won't get you mixed up, but I definitely do appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely.
But, Mr. V, I was calling because a commercial that had played, and I'm not that bright when it comes to these censors and these polls that they be coming up with, but it really bothered me when it said it was 89% of the American people were on board with the Israel thing, and I just started wondering why we can't get 89% of the American people to be on board with reducing these ridiculous rent prices.
That's a little complicated, isn't it? It is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, we're talking about somewhere way overseas we can come together for a vote, but we can't come together for a vote right here in our own country.
Now, here's the thing, though. I mean, you can do all the voting you want, but you come back to this issue of supply and demand and what's going on with the housing market, with interest rates. All of these things are interconnected, Corey. And so if you really want to get to the heart of this thing, this all traces back to the Federal Reserve. That's really where the problem is.
Because, have you noticed all these apartments they building down?
Oh yeah,
29. I'm like, where are the houses? We're moving people out of houses into apartments.
You can't miss it. You cannot miss it. Here's the thing, and I need to share more about this. There's a growing movement by elitists who want people to own less, and the idea behind it is to just use stuff and not really have your own property. And I really, it's succeeding because, were you listening to yesterday's program, by the way?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I listen to you every morning on the way to work. I go in at 9 and I'm tuning in to you.
Do you remember me sharing about my good friend Steve Dace and his post where he was talking about how he and his wife made $400,000 last year? And now they're concerned if they move, they're going to be house poor?
Yes, sir.
I mean, see, this isn't just a poor people thing or a middle class thing. This is explosive. And here's the thing that also, you want to talk about something else that feeds into this whole inflationary problem. I mean, when you've got mortgages that are, you know, in the neighborhood of $1,000, $1,100, 3 years ago, and now you got mortgages for $2,000. Why is this happening again? Because the federal government is overspending, and they're not stopping. Do you see a sense of emergency or crisis in Washington at all, Corey?
To an extent. And when I say that, Mr. B, I just resort back to the American people. I can see the hoorah for politicians. I can see the hoorah for wars, but I just don't understand why there's no hoorah for us all to come together.
They don't.
So that we can be benefited.
See, we're not. See, this is Corey, you have no idea the depth of wisdom you have just communicated there, that we are putting energy out that is really a waste of energy for for things, for personalities, and we have completely lost touch with our own self-interest, haven't we?
Yes, we're no longer kumbaya with each other. We're kumbaya with others.
With that we don't even know. We don't even know, Corey. I'll tell you what, thank you for your call, and thank you for listening. And I'd love to hear from you again sometime, Corey, to hear your thoughts. And would you please listen? I'm serious. Because some of you within the sound of my voice, you are the people I need to appeal to. Get off of get out of these cults, whatever they are, and really start looking at this. I mean, I mentioned my friend Congressman Thomas Massey, who's going to join this vacate the chair thing. This is serious business. When you can't even get Republicans to come together to get rid of FISA. I mean, what is this party? What is it? It's worthless. And then they're going to send all these solicitations. I think I've gotten all these blocked now. A bunch of solicitations I was getting from this member of Congress. It's like, give me a break. Why don't you go do your freaking job and figure out how to balance the budget? That's the starting place. Because if you're going to keep doing the same stuff with continuing resolutions and overspending, no thank you. There should be one party that wants to overspend and another party that is determined not to. But we've got both parties. They're perfectly content at bankrupting our country. Just absolutely crazy is what it is. Bill, good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. Got about a minute or so, Bill.
Okay, Vince, love your show, first of all. Now, to address the guy in the housing, this is all stemming from the Marxist movement that the Democratic Party is pushing. They're letting people in through the border, which is eating up our housing, our apartments, and then they're spending money like crazy. And the whole means is to get society dependent on the government, which is nothing but Marxism.
Yep. You're absolutely right. And we keep going at this rate. Nobody's going to own anything, Bill, which is what this is one of the things. Isn't this one of the foundational things that Marxism is designed to target? Private ownership?
That's exactly right.
It's all about collectivism. This is what, and it's not like when you talk about collective, it's not like the people own anything. They portray it as, well, the people will own this or that. No, it's the government that will own it. And you will be a tenant. That's how it works. Bill, you have touched on another aspect of this thing. These people drive me absolutely crazy. Still to come, we've got an item for Transformation Tuesday. I wasn't planning to do this today, but I came across an awesome post from a good friend of mine that I think is worth sharing for that purpose. We'll get into that and much more as we continue our broadcast.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
On the Vince Coakley radio program, 19 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. I'd mentioned I wasn't planning to do a Transformation Tuesday, but I came across one I thought, you absolutely have to share this. You know, and several years ago, I'm not sure I would have said this, but I'm really resolute in this now. You see, on the Republican side, we've got politicians who have portrayed themselves as champions of preserving Christianity and Christian influence. I think this is the first time I've ever said this. But I want to make this very clear. I do not want government power used in any way to prop up Christianity. I don't want it. I don't need it. But here's my appeal. If you're a politician, a person of power, there's something else you can do if you really want to support Christianity. Live it. I'm just keeping it real. If you're going out making all kinds of political speeches about how wonderful it is to, you know, how important Christianity is and the Bible is and all this other stuff, the most important thing you can do is live it. I do not want force used to prop up anything. Jesus does not need your props. He said his kingdom is not of this world. You're probably wondering, where is he going with this? Why did I? Here's a post a good friend of mine put up today, which is right on the money. I love this. This person's name is David Cassidy. It's not the actor. The final miracle Jesus performed was healing the ear of a man wounded by a sword-wielding disciple trying to defend Jesus. Jesus still heals people wounded by deluded disciples who think Jesus needs defending and people need to be attacked. Love one another. Doesn't that get to the heart of it? Jesus still heals people wounded by deluded disciples who think Jesus needs defending and people need to be attacked. Whew. Boy, that'll pack a punch. No pun intended. There's a lot of wounding going on out there. And it's by well-meaning people. Well-meaning people. Anyway, I hope that is helpful. Probably stirred something up as well. Let's talk about the Trump trial. As you know, Donald Trump is on trial in New York and jury selection is underway. This is going to take a few weeks. And as with anybody who is a criminal defendant, you can pretty much throw your calendar out. You don't have really any power to control your schedule. Your schedule is the court schedule. Whatever the judge decides, that's what you're going to get. So we have this issue that is developed now. Donald Trump is looking to elicit sympathy because of this schedule impact. And just for the fun of it, I'm sharing with you the Huffington Post story. Donald Trump flips out over Barron's graduation ban. Here's what the judge really said. Conservatives got into a tizzy after Donald Trump raged, it looks like Judge Juan Merchant, who is overseeing the former president's criminal hush money trial, will not let me go to the high school graduation of son Barron Trump. It's not what Merchant said. Merchant actually said it may be possible for Trump to attend the May 17th celebration, but he'd have to see how the trial develops. Nevertheless, Trump spun this into an attack on what he called the scam proceedings against him as he first fumed outside of the courthouse. Let's listen to Donald Trump fuming as he comes out of the courthouse. Listen up.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son has graduated from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. He's very proud of the fact that he did so well. And was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judges are going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial.
All right, this scam trial, that's what's going on here. Scam trial. Then in a post on his Truth Social platform, Trump's eldest son, Donald Trump Jr., wrote on X, pure evil. Pure evil. Jack Posobiec. Breaking, Judge Merchant says Trump will be arrested if he misses any day of the trial, even for Barron's graduation. Eric Trump, meanwhile, slammed Merchant as truly heartless in not letting a father attend his son's graduation. To clarify, Merchant did not rule on Trump's request to postpone the trial so he could mark his son's educational milestone. Merchant told the court, it really depends on how we're doing on time and where we are in the trial. Associated Press also reported the judge is saying if the trial proceeds as planned, he's willing to adjourn for the day. Merchant did warn, however, Trump could face arrest if he misses court or disrupts proceedings in the trial, centered on allegations before the 2016 election he paid porn star Stormy Daniels to keep quiet about their alleged affair, which allegedly took place when his wife Melania was caring for their then-infant son, Barron. This latest disingenuous spin of Trump, his family and allies, was pointed out by critics who also noted defendants shouldn't receive any special privileges. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Is this, and to be honest with you, if the judge is watching this and he's seeing his words being mischaracterized, I don't know that this is a brilliant strategy for Donald Trump to pursue. Because ultimately, I kind of wonder whether he can hold him in contempt for this. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, 37 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock, coming up, we're going to talk about the latest threats Iran is breathing toward Israel. First, let's go out to a call from Jimmy. Jimmy, good morning and welcome.
Hey, Vince.
Yes, sir.
How you doing? A big fan of yours. I agree with you 95% of the time. I wanted to talk to you about just your take on the Trump situation and missing the graduation, just, you know, sort of a minor sidebar to a bigger story. But I what I don't understand, and I'll say from the top, you know, I'm, you know, we're all in agreement, as are most people. Trump is a buffoon. He's a bully. He's all the bad things we know about Donald Trump. However, I think when a story like this is being covered, you know, it's so important to acknowledge, and I would hope that you would also believe this is true. He is being railroaded. These are unfair, you know, in most cases they're trials that, you know, wouldn't be brought against other people, and he's being persecuted in that way. So, you know, when there's sort of disdain about, you know, oh, he's missing his son's graduation, well, shame on him for, you know, being in this situation in the first place. You know, I'd like to hear from a conservative guy like yourself, it's almost a little unnerving to be like, it's like you're joining the party of like, well, anything, you know, it's Trump. So, you know, no sympathy for him.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think the problem is, and this is where things get kind of messy, Jimmy, because and part of what I wasn't clear in what I communicated here. Part of me is saying, I think this is kind of stupid to go out publicly and make comments like this about the judge, again, who's already issued warnings about the possibility of contempt. And so here you really want to make it to your son's graduation. Here's a guy who has the power to help you get to your son's graduation. if for no other reason, and we would hope that he's not petty and going to be able to move beyond his own personal feelings, but
well, that's a good point. I mean,
wouldn't it be a smart idea to kind of behave yourself and act in a respectful manner toward this guy and recognizing
that is the story. That's the story of Trump in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a great idea for him to just rein it in? I mean, that's him in a nutshell. But I, you know, I take the bigger view, you know, and I know, even going back to, with the upcoming election, I just, when I hear, you know, generally conservative talk radio guys, and we've got some other guys here in Charlotte who are you know, conservative yet sort of, there's a underlying hostility to Trump. Like, we all have that sort of, he's abrasive. He's not the guy any of us would pick, but he's got to, you know, it's just that lesser of two evils thing. And I think anytime someone who's conservative veers into the piling on of Trump, I mean, I look at that whole thing and say, well, you know what, honestly, should the guy be there in the first place? So let's not, you know, make, but you know, If he could rein it in, he could have been the greatest president of our lifetime. If he could rein his ego in, we all know that.
Here's the other thing, Jimmy, that concerns me about this, and I think this is part of what Steve Dace was touching on. All of these things that we're talking about mean that we're not talking about the border. We're not talking about the increase in mortgage prices, in rent. We're not having these conversations because it's all of this oxygen is being sucked up by the former victim in chief. And
I'd say there, Vince, again, what's the root cause of that? The root cause, he's having to do all that. He'd rather be out campaigning and having his vision for America. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be, you know, so I don't put the blame on that's, I don't put the blame on him. Is he handling it the right way? Of course not. He never does. That's not how he rolls, but he'd rather not be sitting in that courtroom. He'd rather be out talking about the
border. Oh, I'm sure.
I can't agree.
I don't doubt that. What I'm saying to you, though, is to continue to put these stories out. Again, not only is this are these things that he's talking about and criticizing the judge and family members and all the other things. That's what I'm saying is by having these conversations that are probably not even helpful to him and his cause, it's also taking the subject away from where it needs to be, which is the old buffoon in the White House and all the things that he's screwed up over the last 3 years. I mean, you can recognize, yes, you know, all of these things are being put upon him. They're coming against him. But the other way to do this is to turn it around and make sure the attention remains on the old man in the White House rather than going down more rabbit holes that draw further attention. This is part of what concerns me even about the erosion of the poll numbers at this point. I know we're months away, but I really am concerned.
The crazy thing about Trump, that's it's his Achilles heel. He could have been great if he ever chose to do the right thing when it came to these things and not, you know, his MO is he just comes out fighting no matter what the situation. See, and he doesn't have any nuance, and it's all about him and it's all that. And three times out of four, that works against him because it's like, just shut up and just, you know.
Exactly.
But, you know, where would the guy be if he wasn't if he didn't fight?
You know, here's the thing. Here's the thing. And this is part of what concerns me between now and November. Do we have the danger of Trump fatigue increasing over the next few months as people continue to see this over and over and over again, rinse, repeat, and this becomes counterproductive to the entire process of getting reelected?
Well, I my opinion on that is I don't think you will, because we've got fatigue from Trump like 7 years ago, and we're all just in overdrive on Trump fatigue. And it's the same thing when they say in the polls, if he gets convicted of this, people are saying, well, that's going to erode a bunch of his support. I don't think it will.
You think it'll backfire?
Just immune to it. Yeah. Well, I just think it's status quo. I don't think it moves the needle anymore. It's just noise. Trump gets not guilty. Trump's guilty. It doesn't matter. A lot of people like me are, if he's the guy versus Biden, he's the guy. And I'm going to vote for him, whether he has a felon, whatever it is, and that's where I hope at the end of the day you come down, and a lot of the other, you know, not, you know, conservative commentators who are critical of Trump, which again is fair to be critical of a lot of these things. At the end of the day, you got to say, I don't believe in this. One of your colleagues at WBT is like, I'm not going to pull the lever for either one. I think that's absolutely the wrong way to look at this. With all of Trump's foibles as the leader of the country, he's a better choice, and you got to make a choice or you let the other guys in.
We'll see how all of this unfolds in the coming months. Good to hear from you, Jimmy, and look forward to more conversations in the future.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Final stretch of the broadcast on this Monday. So we look at the ongoing conflict between Iran and Israel. And we have a new threat out of Iran, reported by the New York Post. Iran reportedly getting a terrifying arsenal from Russia, including anti-aircraft launchers and fighter jets, is threatening to fire weapons it has never before used in a severe, extensive, and painful response to the slightest action by Israel. This is the threat from a spokesperson for the Iranian Parliament's National Security Committee, saying the Islamic Republic will confront any Israeli aggression and respond to it. We're ready to use weapons we have not used before. Already. We have plans for all scenarios. We call on the Zionists to act rationally. Okay. Adding the blind support of some Western countries to the Zionist regime is the cause of tension in the region. Of course, it's all Israel's fault. Of course it is. I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, one person who used to work in the Trump administration looks at this with frustration, as many people do. I'm referring to John Bolton, who is basically characterizing what has happened over the weekend as really a culmination of failure. Failure from U.S. and Israeli foreign policy. Listen up.
How well is diplomacy working so far? Hamas this morning again rejected the ceasefire plan. And by the way, I have heard from people in Israel, they believe there are less than 20 hostages still alive, that perhaps 100 of them are dead. And if that's true, and if Hamas knows it, but has been negotiating these past months on the basis of 40 coming out with more possibly later, and Hamas itself saying they can only find 27, Hamas may have been conducting a deception operation to build up pressure on Iran, knowing full well it could never meet the diplomatic goals of the administration. So deterrence failed 320 times last night against Israel. If Iran doesn't feel the pain, I think it's only going to get worse for Israel.
Yep, I think he's absolutely right. I am very concerned about this. Listening to these pointy-headed morons, well, we can follow diplomacy, diplomacy, diplomacy. You remember the deal with Iran that was worked out years ago under the, I think it was the Obama administration. It was supposed to halt their nuclear program. Yeah. And we know it didn't stop. We're not stupid. But as I was mentioning, Bolton is saying this is really the culmination of failure for both countries. And he goes into how much of a failure it is. Listen up.
The Iranians launched 320 plus cruise and ballistic missiles and drones. It's a blessing that the Israelis find only 1% got through. But not every night is going to be that good. And unless Iran sees a powerful response, that risk will continue. And the way to reestablish deterrence is not proportional. That's academic talk. The way you establish deterrence is by telling your adversary, if you ever try that again, the price you will pay will be so much higher than any gain you think you can get, you shouldn't even think about it. So I think Israel has a wide range of potential targets. You start by flattening Iran's air defense capabilities. Next, you might go after headquarters of the regular military and the Revolutionary Guard. You could consider going after their oil infrastructure. The oil fields, the distribution pipelines, the export port facilities. And most importantly, I think Israel should be looking at this as an opportunity to destroy Iran's nuclear weapons program, which is the existential threat that Israel faces. I don't know what they'll do. I can't predict it. But I will tell you this. If Joe Biden, as some press reports have it, is urging the Israelis not to retaliate at all, he is an embarrassment to the United States. This is an American interest to make sure that Iran, which is the principal threat to international peace and security in the region, is at a minimum put in its place to spare Israel, to spare the Gulf Arabs, to spare us from the threat that they pose.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely right here. I think a lot of people in the... a lot of people in the what would be characterized as the America First movement have soured on people like John Bolton because they believe this guy is basically a warmonger and wants to get us involved in another war. And I'm not necessarily disagreeing with the assessment, but at the same time, I'm also saying that I think he's got a point here that I'm a little bit concerned about Israel projecting weakness as... we in the United States have projected weakness. Remember back in Afghanistan? And I think that set the stage for much that has occurred since then. And I don't want that to happen to Israel. We've already had our problems with this. Israel cannot afford to do it, less so than America. That's the end of our broadcast for today. Thanks a lot for joining us. Have yourselves a great day. God bless you. Adios.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.